Our gospel lesson for the morning comes from the 18th chapter of the Gospel according to Luke, the first 8 verses. It's found on your pew Bible on page 1628, if you'd like to read along. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, "In a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about men. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with a plea, 'Grant me justice against my adversary.' For some time he refused. But finally he said to himself, 'Even though I don't fear God or care about men, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming.' And the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" This is the word of the Lord. Our epistle lesson this morning was from part of a letter that Paul wrote to Timothy, his protege, telling him what he needed to be doing as a minister, and so by extension telling us what we need to be doing as a church. And he reminds him that he grew up knowing the scriptures, knowing the faith, and he needs to continue to do the good work that he is doing. We will continue with that thought in just a minute, because Paul, doing kind of stream of consciousness here, he drifts off just for a little bit. He talks about Scripture, and he says all Scripture is inspired by God, and all Scripture is useful for teaching, for discipling, for correcting. All Scripture is inspired and is useful. Even when people didn't know they were writing Scripture, Paul did not know he was writing Scripture when he wrote that Scripture was inspired. But he was inspired to do that by the Holy Spirit. We don't know how many letters he wrote. To him, it was just another letter. We know that he wrote at least 2 letters to Timothy. We know that he wrote at least 4 letters to the church in Corinth, of which we have 2 of them, 1st and 2nd Corinthians. But both of those letters reference other letters that we don't have copies of. So we know there's more out there that we don't know. But these were the ones that were considered to be inspired, to be Scripture, to be given to us for learning, for rebuking if necessary, correcting as necessary, but discipling, bringing people up into the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And he tells Timothy to keep doing this, to continue to spread the good news in word and deed through good times and bad times, always, in season and out of season. When it's good, when it's not. Now, people talk about when it was good. The good old days. Post-World War II. I feel all the time, oh, you should have been here back in the good old days. We used to have to put out so many chairs every Christmas and Easter that you couldn't even walk down the aisle. So many people would come in twice a year, and I'd say, what about the other 50 Sundays? Where was the commitment? Just because you had a lot of people who came 2 days a year because they thought it was the socially responsible thing to do, doesn't mean that we were doing a good job of carrying the good news out. Unfortunately. In fact, it was during that time that everybody was coming. And in fact, if you were doing a good job of reaching a lot of people, you usually ended up having to build bigger sanctuaries. I noticed this church had to do it twice during that period. Built a bigger sanctuary, it still wasn't big enough. Built another one, that's good. But you can't rest on your laurels of what happened in the past. For too many people, the opportunity was missed. During those good old days, we had the largest generation in the history of America being born in this country. Us baby boomers. And many of them grew up in the church. Now, I'm fortunate that I grew up in the church. I grew up in a faith family. I had good role models. But a lot of people did not. They came to church, and what they saw was a church that was both critical and hypocritical. They saw people who came in who did not take church very seriously. To them, it was just another organization to join. This was an era when everybody joined organizations. They belonged to civic clubs, to lodges, to country clubs. And for many of them, the church was just one more organization to join. And probably the cheapest one when it came to dues, because they didn't put much in the plate. Kind of like the story of the family leaving during that time, and they're going home, and the father was complaining, "Did you see the suit that preacher wore today? That was terrible." The woman's complaining about the clothes, the dresses some of the women had on. They're talking about how bad the choir sounded. They're talking about all how bad the church was. And finally, the little boy in the back seat said, "Well, what'd you expect for a dollar?" And that's the kind of kid who left the church, who probably says he's religious but not spiritual but not religious. The nuns. That's where it came from. We really didn't do a good job when it was easy. Guess what? Now we're in the hard part. Paul said that at some point people are going to get itching ears, and they're going to go follow false prophets who tell them what they want to hear and make them feel good, and they'll follow any kind of myth there that gives them a good feeling. And guess what, folks? We're living in that era today. It's out there. Too many people look at church the same way that they look at buying a new set of clothes. Which one do I look best in? It's all about them. And they fail to see what it's really about. We have this itching ear. And you know what really concerns me isn't the people on the outside who say bad things about the church. They've always been there. They always will be. It's the people who pretend to be Christian who are saying things that are the exact opposite to what Scripture says. This is why we need to know what Scripture says, and we need to do what Scripture says. A few examples out of the last few weeks. A head of a theology department of a large Protestant denomination basically wrote a treatise. The whole thesis was in one sentence: America could do a better job of following what Jesus says. Yeah, I don't think we can argue too much about that. You can pick just about any subject and that statement will be true for. But the president of a large Christian university reacted with a very strong tweet that called this guy out and said basically, as a president of a university, he would rather his students be successful and wealthy than to follow the things Jesus said. He didn't say it in that many words, but that's what the gist of the tweet was. It was a long tweet, but that's what it said basically, was that it's more important to be successful. And you know, this rubs guys like me. Y'all have heard me preach that Jesus is more interested in us being faithful by God's definition than successful by the world's definition. And here is a guy claiming to be a Christian saying exactly the opposite. The lady in Boonville, Mississippi, owned a wedding venue. She refused to let a couple get married there because they were biracial. And she said as a Christian, she couldn't allow gays or people of different races to get married in her venue because it said that in the Bible. And she later told a reporter she was very shocked when her pastor called her and told her, "Nowhere in the Bible does it say that people of different races can't be married." She said she had heard that all her life and she was sure it was in there somewhere. I mean, what would her pastor know about scriptures, right? The head of a major conservative denomination said in a radio interview a couple of weeks ago that there are always crazy liberals, his term, who claim that Jesus said you should love your neighbor as yourself. But the truth is, if you wanted to get saved, what you needed to do was join his denomination and follow their teachings. No wonder people don't want any part of that. I don't want any part of that. But I'm in the church, and I know the scriptures, and I know better. Our job is we've got to teach people who don't know the scriptures and who aren't in church what Jesus really said. We've got to teach people what Jesus really wants us to do, because there are people out there who are teaching exactly the opposite, and there's people with itching ears who go listen to those people instead of hearing this. It becomes this echo chamber. People want to hear what they want to believe. They want to think Scripture says what they believe rather than looking to see what the Scripture really say, especially when it challenges our deeply held beliefs. And sometimes Scripture can, because we look at it and the Holy Ghost is working and going, whoa, wait a minute, I never saw that one in there before. How do I apply that to my life? So, we have a challenge as a church to do what Paul told Timothy to do, to keep going, to keep spreading the good news, to keep working for justice. But it's very easy to say that's too hard and throw our hands up and say, I give up. There are plenty of churches who have done that. Why do you think we're having this rash of church closings in America today? God has a mission for this church. God has a ministry for this church. God has a purpose for this church. And I can say that with absolute certainty, because if God did not, we would not be here today. It would have already closed. We have to find what that is and do it. We have to be constantly in season and out of season, when it's good times, when it's bad times, when it's easy, when it's hard. We can't ever say, well, I don't have to do it, it's easy. We can't ever say, it's too hard, I can't do it. God is with us to see that we get it through. And how can I say that with such boldness? Because of what Jesus said. Jesus told a parable of a judge who was very evil, and he didn't care about justice. And he didn't care about God. He didn't care about people. He was only in it for himself. But there was a little widow that kept bugging him for justice until he finally gave in. And she got him to actually do his job. You catch that in the parable? This little lady actually got him to do his job right, to give her justice. And Jesus gave that as a parable. Now, most people preach that. They say God is the judge, and you know, we have to just keep praying and keep praying, keep going. But there's a problem with that interpretation. Is God evil?
No.
Is God not caring about what God says?
No.
Is God not caring about us humans? So that judge cannot be God. Well, is there somebody out there like that? Let me ask you something. This world that we live in, does it judge us? Does it judge us unfairly? Does it care about God? Does it care about other people?
No.
There's your evil judge. And our persistence in prayer is for justice. Not that God has to be hounded to death to get something done. That's not the case. God is God. But we live in a world that does not want justice, that does not want us to succeed. And it's up to us to keep praying about it and keep working for it. And Jesus said, we will prevail. You have that promise from Jesus. When we keep working for justice, when we keep spreading the good news of Jesus Christ in word and in action, we will prevail, because we have Jesus' promise on that. And then Jesus says, the real question is whether or not he will find real faith still on earth when he comes again. Now, you've already heard me tell you, Jesus did not think faith was what we think or what we speak or what we feel. Jesus' definition of faith is found in what we do. So what he is asking is, will there still be faithful people here on earth who are still working for justice, who are still spreading the good news of Jesus Christ to everyone? Is there still going to be churches doing that? Are there still going to be people doing that when he comes back?
Amen.
Or are we going to get so frustrated we give up and quit? That was Jesus' question. And that question is aimed at every one of us. It's aimed at you. Will you continue to work for Jesus Christ, even when it seems futile? Or will you just give up and go the way of the world? And nobody can answer that for you but you. As I've already mentioned, there's lots of people out there claiming to be Christian who are spreading a false narrative of who Jesus is and what Jesus does. Are we willing to stand up and be the people who say, this is what the gospel really says? This is what Jesus commanded us to do. Are we willing to stand up and be those bold people that take that on and say, we believe in the scriptures. We do believe the Bible, that it's all inspired and it's all good. We are wanting to take that forward, not just pick little pieces of it that fit our own preconceived ideas. We're willing to look at the overall big picture and spread that to people. Because that's what Jesus calls us as Christians. That's what Jesus calls us as the church to do, to be the shining witness in this world, in good times and in bad. The only question he has is, are you going to do that or not?